And from the KTOO newsroom in Juneau, I'm Jennifer Pemberton. The Alaska Senate passed a state budget by a margin of one vote this afternoon. The House passed it yesterday. This year's permanent fund dividend will be $525 if the legislature doesn't add more funding later. A motion that would have funded the dividend at $1,100 failed to receive support of three quarters of the members of each chamber, which was required for it to pass. A program to lower the cost of electricity in high-cost areas and university scholarships are not funded in the budget due to the failure of the votes to draw from the Constitutional Budget Reserve. Lawmakers in both chambers have said they support funding these programs, but a compromise may not be possible before Friday. The special session must end by then. That means that power cost equalization program and a university scholarship program may not be funded starting on July 1st, which is the first day of this new budget. The Senate budget approval came after some drama today. It failed in an earlier vote, but Bethel Democratic Senator Lyman Hoffman moved to rescind the vote, and on his second vote, he changed from no to yes, allowing it to pass. Hoffman has said the state should make changes that would allow for higher dividends without drawing down the amount of money available in the permanent fund's earnings reserve. Senator Lisa Murkowski got tough with Interior Secretary Deb Haaland during a Senate committee hearing on the department's budget today. Haaland has both pleased and angered Alaska's delegation to Congress during her 3 months on the job. Murkowski started with a critique of Haaland's 17-page opening statement. Murkowski says it doesn't mention natural resource extraction at all.
There really is no recognition for the production on our federal lands and the role that plays.
Murkowski acknowledged that Interior is proceeding with the ConocoPhillips Willow development in the National Petroleum Reserve, Alaska. Then she moved on to a sore point, the Arctic National Wildlife Refuge.
It wasn't a surprise, but no less a disappointment to learn that your department was suspending leases in Alaska's 1002 area in direct conflict with the 2017 Tax Cuts and Jobs Act.
A provision Murkowski added to the tax cut bill requires two lease sales on the coastal flats of the Arctic Refuge. She made sure Haaland acknowledged it.
So the question very directly is, do you believe that you are required by current law to hold a lease sale in the 1002 area of ANWR by 2024?
Haaland has answered this one before.
I emphasize that I will always, always follow the law. And we will follow the law. Good. And if that is in the law, we will follow the law.
Good. I appreciate that because I don't think that there's any ambiguity.
Murkowski says she was encouraged by a court ruling from Louisiana this week that says the Biden administration's pause on drilling lease sales is illegal. Alaska and a dozen other states filed the lawsuit in March. It cites a lease sale in Cook Inlet that was slated for this year but put on hold pending an Interior Department review. People are coming out of quarantine and into Pride Month here in Juneau. And after a delayed and mostly virtual Pride celebration last year, Juneau Pride is back and in person. KTOO's Lindsay Brolini went to check out the annual Pride picnic at Sandy Beach.
The coming out of quarantine picnic was one of the kickoff events of Pride Month. Gretchen Becker is a volunteer with CEGLA, the LGBTQ+ alliance group that sponsored the picnic. To her, this is one of the most important events of Juneau Pride.
So I'm happy to celebrate in a way that feels organic and real like we would at any Pride year.
At the picnic, Becker was able to see friends she hadn't seen in over a year and meet new people.
It feels really good. I really appreciated the opportunity to reconnect with some longtime Juneau friends that maybe I wouldn't have had a Zoom call with, but I was able to meet here and have that reconnection.
The pandemic made it difficult for anyone to connect and gather safely. This impacted the LGBTQ+ community, especially during Pride. In 2020, Pride in Juneau was delayed from being held in June to August in hopes of being able to host the event safely by then. But that wasn't able to happen. So Pride last year was scaled down and mostly virtual, with a couple in-person, socially distanced events. Becker says it was difficult to stay connected with the community during the pandemic.
With this last year, it really pared down, I think, a lot of our friend groups. And I'm friends with a lot of the queer community here, which is helpful for me to keep going. But I think, honestly, I think everyone felt a little bit more lonely than usual.
Becker gave a shout out to the drag community, which helped her meet other LGBTQ plus people in Juneau. And the drag community helped people stay connected during the pandemic by hosting virtual drag shows. But now, drag shows are back and in person for those who are fully vaccinated. And a drag show is just one of the many events lined up for the rest of Pride Month. Upcoming events include kayaking, a drive-in movie, and more. The full list of events can be found on CEGLA's Facebook or Instagram. In Juneau, I'm Lindsay Brolini.
The Yukon Territory is having its largest COVID-19 outbreak to date. That's despite nearly three-quarters of the territory's adult population being fully vaccinated. KHNS's Mike Squazy reports that even though life in Skagway seems to be getting back to normal for most, the rising case count is upending daily life on the other side of the border.
Yukon's capital city, Whitehorse, sits about 110 miles north of Skagway. With the international border between Canada and the United States remaining closed to all but essential traffic, many people in the small border town of Skagway dream of visits to its closest neighbor accessible by road, for groceries, hot springs, and so much more. However, this weekend, Yukon's COVID-19 cases surged. New cases were reported in Yukon's largest city of Whitehorse, whose population is about 30,000 people, as well as smaller population centers like Burwash Landing and Carcross. Here's Yukon's Deputy Chief Medical Officer of Health, Dr. Catherine Elliott, briefing reporters on Monday about a new, more infectious strain of the coronavirus.
This is an outbreak of the Gamma variant of COVID-19, which is a variant of concern that was first recognized in Japan among people traveling from Brazil.
World health officials are moving toward a new naming system, utilizing Greek letters instead of the names of countries, in an attempt to reduce stigmas associated with areas that produce more potent strains of the virus. Though most of the cases in Yukon involve high school students and unvaccinated adults, at least one fully vaccinated individual in Whitehorse was reported as infected. But Elliott says that's rare.
The times we see those unusual rare breakthrough cases is prolonged close contact of the type you have in a household or with a sweetie or with your, you know, best friends.
Additionally, Elliott says that symptoms are less severe in fully vaccinated people, plus the risk of hospitalization and death is far lower. That is sure to be reassuring news for Skagway residents who worry that welcoming visitors from the lower 48 could be exposing them to COVID-19. The first cruise ship to land in Skagway in 21 months, the American Constellation, arrived last Friday and brought about 80 new faces to town for an overnight stay. The latest report from the Dahl Memorial Clinic in Skagway shows 701 people have been fully vaccinated. But with a constantly shifting population, it's difficult to know exactly what Skagway's percentage of vaccinations is. Skagway's tour season starts to ramp up significantly in late July, with ships bringing thousands of people to town on the schedule. There is no word yet on when the border between Canada and the U.S. will be opened, though Canadian Prime Minister Justin Trudeau has signaled there may be some relaxation on travel restrictions as early as next week. Reporting from Skagway, I'm Mike Swayze.
Today, Juneau City officials announced two new cases of COVID-19 from the past 2 days. They're both being attributed to secondary transmission, meaning they're caught from someone already known to have the virus. There's currently 13 active cases. In Juneau, 72% of Juneau's eligible population has been vaccinated. That's over 60% of the city's total population. Anyone 12 or older can make an appointment for a vaccine by calling 586-6000. And it looks like the rain has left us briefly here in Juneau. It got up to 61 degrees today at the airport. It's going to stay partly sunny this afternoon and turn to partly cloudy tonight with a low around 45. Tomorrow should be mostly sunny with a high near 63. Showers will return late Thursday night and into Friday.